talk to us about this, PJ. You said earlier you admit that there was a time in your life you were battling between number two and number three, right? So we want to talk about that.
Well, I was put it into context. I was a freshman in college, and first time I'd been away from home. So, and I'm in the New Living Translation. It says, "But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things." And, well, you know how it is. You get away, and, I think it's incredibly funny because my pastor of the Methodist church I was going to told me, you need to get involved with Campus Crusade for Christ. Well, believe me, that was the last thing I wanted to do. But God had other plans because, you know, there was one of the leaders of Campus Crusade was on the floor of my residence hall. So there were just so much. I didn't want to be a Christian. I mean, I did, but I didn't. It was like, Lord, can't I just go to church? And wouldn't you just be happy with that? Well, I hate to tell y'all, but the answer is no.
No. No, he wants more from us than that.
Right. We have too many unsaved Christians in church. So
we're going to talk about that soon.
I'm sure we will. but yeah, so with me, it was just the worries, you know, everything was trying to crowd out the word.
Right. And, sure.
And I mean that didn't stop the day I gave my life to Jesus. I mean, the devil's not going to stop harassing us.
Right.
We have to be on guard against worry, against wanting other things or putting other things, being jealous, being covetous, you know, being coveting things.
Right.
Which Paul later on says that's the same thing as idolatry.
Right.
If you're coveting something, that's idolatrous. But we have to be on guard against that because that just, like weeds. I mean, y'all going to think I'm really crazy now, but I love the movie Godspell. Okay. They do this parable, and they kind of play like they're little weeds, and they come up and grab the plant by the throat and actually choke it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's what the devil wants to do.
Sure, that's exactly what he does, yes.
He wants to choke the life out of us.
Right.
With cares and worries and,
certainly does.
Desires. And so we have to be on guard against
that. We do.
That.
All right. We're going to talk more about this in our second hour, and then we're going to talk about the kingdom of God and how that translates into our individual lives. So don't go anywhere. You're going to enjoy that discussion, I'm sure. Every single week, we are right here on the air. We always offer you the opportunity to use our prayer line by email, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Pastor Jim, Betty, and Shell manage that. So you send in a prayer request. They will write a prayer for that need and get it out to the prayer team. If you want to be on the prayer team, you can do that. Just send us an email at prayers@bohmglobal.com. My fourth book was just released by Zulon Press, which I'm very happy about. It's on Amazon. It's also on Zulon. It's also on Barnes & Noble. You can also order it just directly from us and save postage and things like that because we'll send it to you for $11. And just send me an email, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Cindy, did you get your books I sent you?
I did. I was going to thank you for them.
Good. Yes. Great.
I got them and I have started reading.
Fantastic. All right. Strength for the fight. It's all about getting stronger as Christians. And really kind of goes along with what we're talking about here, that you just can't take your salvation for granted. You've got to really start to grow and get stronger. See, it's stronger in the word. PJ, you want to comment on that?
Our life in Christ can never be static. Either we're moving forward, or as you mentioned before, we're leaking. We're moving backwards. Being in the Word, meditating on the Word, that's one of the biggest things we can do, along with prayer and fellowship.
All very important. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So if you want a copy of my new book, Strength for the Fight, just you can order it through us, or you can go on Amazon, Zulon Press, which is the publisher, or Barnes & Noble. And Strength for the Fight is the title. Go ahead, PJ.
Well, and I was going to say, I've read it. It's really good. It's easy to understand.
Good. That was my goal.
Yeah. It was very easy to understand. No lofty words, so.
Yeah, no lofty words, Cindy. And it's semi-autobiographical with a lot of stories of my own personal life, my kids, and things like that, that I think make it relatable, hopefully, for everyone. So grab a copy of that. And we are almost up at the top of the hour, and we're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. And tell a friend about it. And also, I have a new Facebook post out. It's been out about a week and a half or so. Go to Beacon of Hope Ministries Facebook page. It's the one with the lighthouse with all the colors on it. Right, PJ?
Yep.
Yep, and you can watch that or my posts. And here we go. Let's do this station ID, and we're coming right back with Cindy Henderson and Pastor Jim Ellsbury.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
All right. Welcome back. Second half of Living the Good Life. Yes, we've been on the air for 2 hours for almost 12 years. In the middle of April, we will be celebrating our 12th anniversary, starting our 13th year. And we will do that on actually Resurrection Sunday is when it hits. So it's kind of cool. So and Pastor Jim, you'll be hosting the show on Palm Sunday. I'll be in Indiana with grandchildren. And they just keep populating. They just keep growing. Number 12 is now 3 months old, Cindy. He had his three-month-old photo shoot this weekend, which is pretty cool. Yeah, number 12. So that's what you got to say about the McAllister clan. We are many and mighty. So it's cool, though. It's cool. What a blessing. You know, we are also blessed in our lives. We've got to take moments, take time to thank God. We thank him today for his precious word. We're talking about the word because that's what this ministry is all about. We're planting the word in you today. We're planting it in us because as we listen to what we say, believe it or not, we grow. Right, mm-hmm. PJ? You want to comment on that?
Well, yeah, I know as... because we talk the word, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we speak the word, even if we're giving it out like we are on the radio, I know I walk away from these shows stronger than when I walked in.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and that's our goal, to bring the word of God. And if you just are now joining us, the first part of this show today, we've been in Mark chapter 4 talking about the parable of the sower. The first parable story that Jesus told, and it's probably one of the most well-known, but it takes all of us and puts us in a position that we can look at our lives and say, am I one of those that, you know, the word of God just kind of flies by me? I don't really, it doesn't take root in me. Are things in my life, the worries and cares of my life, are they strangling out the word of God? The word of God brings healing into our lives and it restores us. Hence our slogan, Beacon of Hope, is where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. Why do we need that, Cindy? Why is that our slogan, Cindy Henderson, Idaho?
Because that describes humanity. We all need some kind of healing. We all need hope. Christians, and as Graham Cook calls them, pre-Christians alike. Life is life. It's hard. It's hard in so many different ways.
Right. It is. It's hard. Sure.
It's hard whether you have money or not. It's hard.
Right.
You know, the world needs healing and hope.
Yes, absolutely.
So it speaks right to where all of us live.
Amen. We're going to start this second hour because it's all about what God can do in our lives through the Word of God and through as we grow and get these concepts down on the inside of us. Matthew West, the healing has begun. Listen to this. I think it'll be a blessing to you.
You have carried the weight of your secret for way too long, thinking if there is a place called forgiveness, you don't belong. Oh, but freedom can never be found behind those walls. So just let them fall. Just let them fall. Oh, the healing has begun. Oh, the healing has begun. You've been holding back, let them fall like rain. 'Cause today's the day. Yeah, today's the day. Oh, the healing has begun. Oh, the healing has begun.
Praise God. The healing has begun. Love that song. Healing begins so often when we are in the Word of God. That's what it's all about. And we're going to go to number 4 here in a minute, verse 20 of Mark 4. Go ahead, PJ. What were you wanting to say there?
Well, just that it's, you know, the Word brings healing. The Word
yes,
brings
it does.
Life.
Yes.
And the Word brings a crop.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. You want to explain that? And we'll go to Cindy for her comment on that, too,
well,
what that means.
It gets to the, you know, to number 4 here, that the seed that fell upon good ground
yes.
brings forth a harvest, 30, 60, 100 fold. That's the whole purpose of the Word, is the seeds that are planted within us are meant to germinate
right.
and produce a crop.
Yes.
So that, guess what? We have seed to scatter also.
Absolutely.
You know, what is it Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, about he provides seed for the sower.
Right.
And, you know, as we sow, as we take in the Word, it produces a harvest, and it just becomes a cycle.
It does.
We give it out, and those people hopefully it takes root in them, then they're able to sow seed, the seed of the word.
Right. I agree. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 26, and then we're going to get Cindy back in here. Jesus said, God's kingdom is like seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forgets about it. Okay? So when we're planting this seed, what we're doing right now on this show, we're planting God's word, the seed out there. And then you know what? It's out of our hands. Okay? Cindy, Jim, and me, once this goes out over the air, it's going to be heard again and again on podcast. But there's nothing, we don't have a part in it once it is thrown out there, right? And then it says the seed sprouts and grows, and he has no idea how it happens. Just think about corn that's thrown into a field or planted in a field. You can't see it happening. Pretty soon you start seeing little green leaves coming up through the soil. Pretty soon you get a corn stalk up in the air. And in Indiana, they used to say knee high by the 4th of July. Now they say that it's sooner than that. But you know what? The corn starts growing. We can't see how it happens. God takes the nutrients from the soil, adds some sunshine, adds some water, and look what happens. And it says the earth does it all without his help. First, without the farmer's help. First, a green stem of grass, then a bud, then the ripened grain. When the grain is fully formed, he reaps because it's harvest time. And then we're talking about God's kingdom. How can we picture God's kingdom? What story can we use? I'm in verse 30 of Mark 4. It's like a pine nut. When it lands on the ground, it is quite small as seeds go. Yet once it is planted, it grows into a huge pine tree with thick branches. Eagles nest in it. Talk to us about this, Cindy. The kingdom of God is like a seed thrown on a field. It's like a pine nut. Talk to us about that.
I think you said something early on in the show about your grandfather planting seed.
Oh, my ex-father-in-law. Yeah, my ex-father-in-law.
Right, okay, right.
Yeah.
He did his job of being the planter.
Right, he did.
And then, of course, you know, if you're a farmer, then you have to water and you have to
weed
and you have to take care.
Right.
But absolutely nothing would have ever happened if he didn't plant.
Right. That's right.
The key is planting.
The
ingredient. The key ingredient in growing something is the seed being planted. You can't, you know, if you don't plant, then nothing grows. And that works for good and bad. That just hit me that, you know, you can plant bad things.
Absolutely you can.
And if you plant bad things, they will grow. But so the word, the seed, it's life. If there's no planting, nothing grows, period.
You're exactly right. And you have to plant the seed, right, for something to grow from it. So there's got to be a deliberate thing there. You got to make yourself or put yourself in a position to hear the word of God, to read the word of God, so that it deliberately is planted in you. The law of sowing and reaping is what you sow, you're going to reap, right? That's biblical. So if you're going to plant corn, you're going to reap corn, not tomatoes. And if you are going to sow discord, you're going to reap discord. Pastor Jim, talk about that. Because that's the law of sowing and reaping applies right here to the kingdom.
Right. Whatever you sow, I mean, that's in Galatians chapter 6. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. If you sow to the spirit, you reap eternal life. You don't get something different than what you sow. So if you sow discord, your life is going to be full of strife. If you sow anger, that's what's going to be returned to you. If you sow words of life and words of healing, that's what's going to be returned to you. That's the harvest that you're going to get.
That's exactly right. And it's purposeful. It's intentional. We have to go about our Christian walk as intentionally choosing to plant the seed of God's word in our lives and watch it grow a harvest. And it's going to cause us to be more loving. It's going to, the word of God is going to teach us to not judge, that you be not judged. It's going to teach us that give and it shall be given unto you. It's going to teach us the concepts of what we sow is what we reap, right? Mm-hmm. Talk to us about the kingdom of God and all of this, Cindy.
Well, like I said, you sow good, you reap good. You sow bad things, that's what you get. And you know, not everything bad that happens to us is because we sowed something bad.
Right.
It could be that someone in our lineage sowed something bad.
Sure.
It could be a generational curse.
It could be.
Because someone that we're in relationship with sowed something bad.
Sure.
It could be because someone at our job, you know, something bad happens at your job. It might be because somebody there sowed something bad. So it's not always that you specifically were planted that bad seed. So we have to be mindful, not just of our own lives, of what we're planting, but we have to be careful what we plant into other people's lives.
Absolutely.
And what we, you know, the situations that we get in ourselves into. If you get into a relationship with someone who's constantly planting bad seeds, guess what? Those things are going to grow in your garden.
Exactly, they are. Yes.
You know, so you have to guard yourself, and you have to guard against. You have to be careful who you come into relationship with. Even as friends, I'm not even, you know, romantic relationships, of course, but friends, people
absolutely
that you surround yourself with, you know, who do you have feeding into your life every day with their words, with their actions, with how they spend their money, with
right
their belief system?
Sure.
We have to be on guard. Planting seeds doesn't seem like something that you have to guard constantly, but I think this parable makes it pretty clear that, you know, somebody's out to steal the seeds.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to.
And so you have to be careful.
Right. We're going to kind of take a turn here and go right in our Bibles over to the last chapter of Acts, Acts 28, because here we see a window into what Paul spent his time doing towards the end of his life. People always like to argue with him. You know, there's always going to be people that want to argue with you about the things of God or healing for today or whatever. And Paul ran into this different times. And in this case, in Acts chapter 28, and I'm at about verse 20, he's trying to talk to this group of people. And he said, okay, come over to the house and I'll explain it to you more thoroughly. And in verse 21 of Acts 28, then they were saying, well, we've heard bad things about you. You know, we've heard that you caused trouble. You know, a lot of times Christians can get a reputation for being kind of different or kind of strange in some ways. But these people, when they confronted Paul, and Paul said, yeah, I'll talk to you more about this. Then he invites them over to his place where he was. And in verse 22, they said, the only thing we know about this Christian sect or this group of people is that nobody seems to have anything good to say about it. Now, when the seed of God is really planted and people begin to grow, that as we've said all through this show today, and I have felt that the devil does not want some people hearing this, that the God's word is going to change your life. It's going to bring healing. It's going to cause you to be able to see life differently. In some of your past circumstances, you're going to see them differently than you did before. But in verse 23 in Acts 28, the time came for them to get together. And the day arrived, they came back to his house, a number of his friends, and Paul talked to them all day long. Interesting. He had a lot to say from morning to evening, explaining everything involved in the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them all about Jesus by pointing out what Moses and the prophets had written about him. I believe in these days we are going to have more and more opportunities for people to say, I want to know what you mean by the kingdom of God, or I want to understand what this salvation thing means to you. And I propose, Pastor Jim, we're going to have more opportunities to plant the seeds of the kingdom of God, and then it's up to us whether we walk through those doors. The opportunity is going to come up, just like it did right here with Paul. You want to comment on this?
Well, absolutely. I believe we're racing toward the culmination, toward Jesus' return. And Isaiah prophesied that gross darkness would cover the earth.
Right.
But our light will shine, and it says people will come to
yes.
us because of the light of the glory that rests upon us.
I agree.
So people are going to see us in
yeah.
the midst of this
yeah.
darkness. And they're going to want to know, what's up with y'all?
Right.
Back in the early church, the first few centuries, of course, they were persecuted. And I just shared something on Facebook about 11 Christians a day worldwide are killed.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So it's happening again.
It's happening.
But one of the church fathers, Tertullian, wrote, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church.
Wow.
Even if we're persecuted.
Right.
It's not going to stop us.
Right.
And we are called to preach. We are called to share the life that Jesus has given us.
Yes.
People are going to see, if we're living in his presence.
Right.
People are going to see that difference, and they're going to want to know. Satan's going to try and do everything he can to blind their eyes to it, or to keep them, fearful or whatever. But yes, it's our responsibility when those opportunities arise
yes.
to take them.
Take them, right.
To do what God has called us to do, because that's our responsibility. That's what he's given us to do, is to proclaim the kingdom.
Absolutely.
And wherever we go, we have the kingdom is within us if we have the Holy Spirit within
right.
us, which we do.
Yes.
So we're called to take the kingdom wherever we go.
We are. And Romans 14:17, Paul wrote, the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink. It's not about legalistic rules. But he says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness means living in right standing with God. In other words, when you know that you've sinned and you need to do something about it, you confess your sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Righteousness, right standing with God. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Teaching people that they can be right with God. And then peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Cindy, talk about this importance of teaching people that they can be in right standing with God. That's what Paul was doing right here in his little rented home close to the end of his life. Talk to us about that.
In his living room, having church service?
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah, I think he was. Yeah.
Well, one of the biggest misconceptions about Christianity, about Christ, is that you have to be perfect or better than you are to come to him.
Right.
And that you somehow have to fix yourself, clean yourself up, get yourself
right.
straightened out, and then you can come and you'll be accepted.
Right.
And that's not it at all.
Right.
He had two thieves next to him on crosses when right before he died. One of them was saved. He didn't have time to fix anything. He's a thief. Dying on the cross.
Good point. He didn't have time to get fixed. No.
He did
right.
not have time to change anything about his life. It's almost over. He's on his
right.
He's ready to die. And yet Jesus accepted him immediately.
Immediately. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise, right?
And
yeah.
all through Jesus' ministry, it wasn't the together people that he went to.
Not at all.
He wants them too. But
yes.
It was the church slogan says, the hurting. Those
That's
who
right.
healing.
Yes.
The the drug addicts, the people who've lost their homes and are living on the streets, alcoholics, he went to those lepers.
Right.
He went to the lepers.
Yes, he did.
No one else would touch or talk to. It
right.
was illegal. And, his whole ministry just points out that you don't have to get it together first.
Well,
he wants you where you are.
Exactly.
As you are right now.
Absolutely. And we've got to break those chains. I've been feeling all through the show, I need to play the song by Zach Williams, Chainbreaker, because I will tell you that the devil will keep you in bondage to your past, to regrets, to things that perhaps you have said or done in the past. You think that God cannot accept you the way you are. Cindy just gave a very good reason. That thief on the cross beside Jesus didn't have time to make amends. He didn't have time to straighten out everything in his life. He simply knew he needed God. And dear one out there, God wants to remind you today of his great love for you. And I believe that the devil is trying his best during this show. I have felt it, that the devil is trying to keep people from hearing the truth of the simplicity of the kingdom of God. That it's not about rules and regulations. It's not about eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, being in right standing with God, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul taught, and that's what we're all about. And the word of God that's gone out today, we declare right now in the name of Jesus, devil, you're not taking it from those ears that need to hear it. We stand in the gap for these that need to hear the encouragement of the word of God, that God has a plan for them, and that God wants them to really break free from these chains, whatever they might be, whatever those chains might be.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Believe it, you receive it, you can feel it. Somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel alone,
Love that. You know what? Chains need to be broken over a lot of people in this world, right? We've been talking about the seed being planted in good soil. And when you see this little story here in Acts 28, at the end of basically the end of the recorded ministry of Paul, somewhat, and you just saw the movie, didn't you, Paul the Apostle, Pastor Jim?
Yeah, I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, and what did you think about this, the last phase, so to speak, of Paul's life?
Oof. I pray I'm as faithful as he was. You know, I mean, and he was. I mean, this, where Acts ends, Paul still went on one more missionary journey after the book ended. I mean, he went through Crete and, you know, wrote the letters
right.
to Timothy and Titus.
Sure. But he knew he was about to die during those letters, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, especially the
Timothy.
Last one.
Yeah.
Second Timothy was written from the Mamertine prison.
Right.
And for whatever reason, you know, after the great fire in Rome, Paul was hauled back to Rome and was not really given a trial this time like he was the first time. The only thing that saved him from being crucified was that he was a Roman citizen. Therefore, he got the pleasure of being beheaded.
Beheaded, yeah.
You know, instead of crucified. But right up to the end, I mean, I know the movie was a fictional kind of with, you know, the prefect of the prison and all that, but it's like, you know, and it's all through here. I mean, even in Acts 28, Paul was in chains in his house, in his rented house. I mean, he was on like house arrest and they didn't have little ankle bracelets, so they kept him in chains. And yet, what was it he wrote to, I think, the Philippians? The word of God is not chained.
Right, exactly. You know, might have been, but the word wasn't.
He might have been, but the word
wasn't. And that's so true for us today, true, right?
Oh, exactly.
The word of God is not chained. Absolutely.
Right, exactly. We need to remember that. And here was Paul. And I think one thing about this is, you know, he wanted to reach everyone, his own people, the Jews, the Gentiles. And they got him into a heap of trouble. I mean, he was accused of turning the world upside down.
Right.
And I just think it's an amazing thing that, you know, here the last verse is boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God.
That's what he was doing.
And teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one tried to stop
Yes.
him. Boldly proclaiming.
Right.
And that's, I pray I am more like that. I mean, anyone who would come up and ask him, he just blabbed about the word, you know.
Right,
he
did.
I can just see it. And that's how God wants all of us to be. We don't have to be apostles. We don't have to be prophets. But we're all called to do the work
of
the evangelist.
We are. And to get that word out. And that's what Paul was doing, talking about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is being in right standing with God, Romans 14, 17, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so many people go through life without joy, without peace, with feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm just so burdened down by all of this, 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 and this. And that's why the soil is so important of our hearts, that when the word is sent out there, that it lands on good soil. Talk to us, Cindy. I mean, that's what we got to do. And Paul just kept preaching it, just kept talking about it, just wouldn't give up, right?
Well, our lives are the biggest advertisement for Christ. How we speak, how we act, how we spend our money.
Right.
Our attitude. How we handle things.
Right.
People look at us, and it might be something as simple as, you know, when I'm out, I play Pokemon Go. And it puts you in contact with lots of people you don't know.
Okay.
I'm out, and something good will happen, and I'm like, thank you, Lord.
Right, you know? Right.
Or I'll say, oh, yeah, this happened, and I prayed, you know. It's even just little things like that where you're not afraid to express, hey, this is how I believe. You know,
right.
You don't have to preach it. You don't have to preach it, people. You just live your life.
You live your life. And are, mm-hmm. again, back to planting seeds, are we planting seeds of love? Are we planting seeds of bigotry, of judgment, or are we planting seeds of acceptance and love and looking for the good in others? How are we approaching the people we run into, Cindy? So important, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I've had a couple people ask me some questions, and it's an opportunity to just say, well, I don't do that because I'm a Christian.
Right, right.
And you don't have to preach. It doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out thing. It's like, no, I don't do that because I'm a Christian.
Right.
And it stays with them.
Sure.
People have mentioned it other times. You know, it comes up in conversations.
Right.
You know, somebody will say something, and somebody will speak up and go, oh, she doesn't do that. She's a Christian.
Right, exactly.
And it's not judgmental. They know.
Right.
They're aware of it. And I think people just need to be aware. We don't have to stand on the street corner with a big sign and scream at people. We just need to live our lives in the most Christ-like way we can possibly do it.
Okay, that's a good point. So let's talk about that, because when we look at this fourth category here, the seed that falls in good earth represents those who hear the word. I'm back up in Mark chapter 4, verse 20. Embrace it and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. Okay, how do we produce a harvest? What is this talking about on a daily basis, Pastor Jim? How do we live out Mark 4:20? How do we do this?
We hear the word. First of all, you got to be in the word. That's the first step. You can't plant seeds of the word unless you're in the word or hearing the word. And I like the way, you know, you put it there. We embrace it.
Yeah.
You know, that's important. It's not, you know, most translations say accept it, but yeah, the Greek, because I looked it up, it does mean a little bit more than just
accepting.
A casual acceptance. It means really clinging to it. And part of that is meditating on the word.
Yeah.
Being in the word, reading the word, singing the word, whatever it takes. And that's planting those seeds.
That's how the practical application of this number four, right?
And speaking the word.
Yes.
I mean, speaking it out. God gives you a word, you know, he drops kind of one of those rhema words in your lap that, oh, this scripture is for me. This is for me. Start saying it. Start speaking it, you know? Make it a part of you. And just like, you know, the other parable, all of a sudden it's just going to start to grow. And there's your harvest.
Yeah, there it is right there. And so it's a matter of action on our parts, right? It's not a matter of being passive and just sitting there and let life happen. We have to actually be proactive. I mean, that's what I see it as. You can't just think, oh, well, I'll occasionally think about God once in a while. This is growing the word on the inside of you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is so much more than what a lot of people understand it to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, the one parable is, yeah, the word is going to grow. The kingdom is going to grow, kind of whether we like it or not. But there are things we need to do to help that happen.
Right, right.
You know, we talked earlier about breaking up the fallow ground, making sure your heart is ready to receive.
Right.
And then accept it, embrace it. Basically live it, make it your life.
Right. Make it your life. Talk to us about that, Cindy, because I think when it comes down to practicalities with a lot of people day in and day out, they're not thinking a whole lot about God and how his, what his presence on the inside of them is doing that day or what they mm-hmm. should be doing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. When I read something on Facebook this morning, Lisa Bevere, she's one of my favorite speakers. She has a book called Girls with Swords.
Okay. Girls with Swords? Okay.
Girls with Swords, yeah. You got to read it.
Okay.
It says, when we pray God's word, we pray God's will.
Yes.
And it's the same when we speak God's word.
Yes.
We speak God's will. And Pastor Jim was talking about speaking the word in your day-to-day life. And again, that's the seeds. Sometimes we have to plant seeds for ourselves, ourselves.
Right.
It's hard sometimes when things have been spoken to you, over you, into your life, prophetic words, and you don't see any action on them.
Right. The delay? You mean the delay factor? That's kind of hard, isn't it?
The delay factor.
Right. Yeah.
Especially when it takes years.
Right.
That have been spoken over you years ago.
Right.
You have not seen in the natural yet. And it gets hard.
It's hard. It's very hard to be patient, waiting on the Lord. Yes.
Yeah, and it's, you know, sometimes I just, it's like, oh, okay, Lord.
Right.
Where is it?
Right.
And there are days when it's like, I don't want to pray that anymore.
Right, right.
Why
would you say that, Cindy? Why would you say you don't want to pray that anymore? Talk to us about that.
Because you get tired and you get discouraged and you don't
right.
see any action on it. And I think sometimes like with kids, it's the reason some people give up on trying to teach their kids to do the right thing. Because
right.
The kid resists and resists and resists and resists and doesn't listen. And finally the parents just give up and they let them do whatever they want. And we all know how that works out. And some days, you know, I get up and I have a couple prayers that I've, you know, typed out,
right.
that I've memorized now,
sure.
but I keep them.
Me too.
Them out so I
yeah.
remember to pray them. And,
right.
And there are promises that I've been given.
Absolutely.
That I pray. And
yes.
sometimes I'm tired. And it's like, I'll just tell him, God, I don't really feel like praying that today.
I know.
And usually what he says to me is, but what if today is the day?
Right.
And it's like, okay, fine.
But see, you're admitting a human weakness that we all have, that there are times mm-hmm. where we get to the point where we are going, God, I know you promised this. You've told me over and over again this would happen, but it hasn't happened yet, so I've lost my patience. So I'm just going to be mm-hmm. discouraged here today, and I'm going to be, you know, just not sure what's going to happen. I'm just going to be defeated. I'm just going to let all this... just take me down. And that's exactly when the devil is snatching your joy, he's taking the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And the joy mm-hmm. of the Lord is our strength. And that's Nehemiah 8:10. And when we lose our joy, when we say, okay, devil, I'm just going to let you win today. In essence, we do that, Pastor Jim, for times that we do just crumble.
Right.
Crumble.
Well, we're human.
We're human.
But the grace of God, the
yes.
Spirit of God enables us to get back up.
Yes.
And that's one thing about God, you know, he'll start us where we are.
Right.
He knows our nature.
Right.
If we stumble, he's there to pick us
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
You know, we may stumble, but we're not broken.
No.
You know?
And the more we spend in his presence, we're going to do the song, Oh, the Glory of Your Presence. Because when you are actually planting seed, allowing it to be planted in your heart, in your mind, whether it's on an app on your phone or whether it's a good sermon you heard or whether it's an encouraging word in a devotional or whatever it might be, when you're allowing that seed to be planted in your heart, then your heart is good soil. And when that seed is planted, then you realize anew, one more time, that God is real, that he loves you, that he has a plan for your life, that his presence in his presence, when you spend time with him in his presence, it changes you. Okay? There is a glory that happens when we spend time in worship, when we spend time in praise, when we spend time in the word. It produces a harvest. And it's all about the harvest. Okay? I mean, think of a farmer. It's all about October, November, when all the harvesting goes in and all of the seed corn or beans or wheat or whatever is being taken to the granaries and weighed and measured so that the money is given to the farmer for what it is that they have grown. It is all about the harvest. And Jesus is teaching this very important parable as the first story. Mm-hmm. And he is saying, people, you got to understand you're growing the kingdom of God on the inside of you, or you're not. Which is it? Which is it? Are you letting the devil steal it from you? Are you letting the cares of this world, number three, the cares, the worries, all the anxieties of life strip you of the joy of the Lord, which is your strength? Comment on that, PJ, and we're going to go to the song.
It's sometimes hard to look at ourselves and admit our failings. I mean, we've all been through that. But like I said before, God is so gracious. You know, 1 John chapter 2, if any of you sins, if any of you fail, we have an advocate with the Father. It's not like Jesus abandoned us. He's our advocate, Jesus. Amen. Christ, the righteous one.
Yes.
And he is the sacrifice for our sins.
Amen.
Every one of our failings, he's already taken care
of.
It's
already taken.
I mean, I know there are times when I backslid and all that. And his grace just kept pestering me.
Right.
Until I realized, you know, it's taken care of. I don't have to live here anymore.
Right.
I don't have to stay here defeated anymore.
Right.
I can be raised up again.
Amen. Oh, the glory of his presence.
And you're here, Lord Jesus.
Let this just bless you today. Allow him to work a new work in you.
Of your presence.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray for you right now. Dear Lord, you know these dear listeners. You know where they are. You know what's going on in each of their individual lives scattered around the globe. And we know, God, that you can intervene in our situations. You can bring peace. You can bring joy. You can bring that knowledge that we are in right standing with you. That's Kingdom of God principles. Lord, we pray for our listeners that they will draw close to you, because your word says when we draw close to you, you do draw close to us. Lord, we pray for peace in lives, that they will just really seek you with all their heart, that they will desire to have all that you have for them, that they will desire to be strong in you and in your word. Lord, that they will be good soil that will produce a harvest. Lord, we just pray that these words today that Jesus taught so long ago would remind us to watch over our hearts and to really be diligent about planting the seed of God's word, his praise, his truth, his joy in our hearts, to not let it go, but to be diligent to plant it in our lives so that we can produce a harvest. Lord, we pray this for our listeners right now, that there will be a fresh desire for God's word to be birthed in them anew, a fresh desire to be that good soil for the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, for this time together, and we give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Talk to us, Cindy. Woo, you got to have some thoughts, girl. I'm sure you do.
I think one of the things thinking is be real with God.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
I don't hesitate to tell him pretty much everything.
Right.
I tell him when I'm upset. I tell him when I'm happy. I tell him when I'm disappointed.
Sure.
I said before on the show, you know, I pray for parking favor.
Right. I know you do. I do too.
Lot.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there's nothing too small.
Right.
In
yes.
our lives.
Get God involved in your life, you know?
Right. And, hey, you know, I pray that I catch Pokemon, you know,
whatever that is.
It's a game.
Yeah, I figured it was a game.
You know, and you catch little monsters.
Oh, okay.
And,
all know, right.
Some of them you've never caught before, and you get extra points for those. And
all right, you go, know, Cindy, so, you go. Okay.
Yeah, so it's like, hey, Lord, you know, I really want this one. Please.
Well, what I hear you saying is you're bringing God into your practical aspects of your life, at your work,
absolutely,
when your friends, with your family, with
yeah.
your kids, and you're saying you're praying about these issues that concern you, right?
Right, and prayer is not something deep that you have to stop and say lots of words. Prayer is just talking to God.
Right, sure it is.
And so, you know, if I ask for parking favor, that's a prayer.
Right.
If I, you know, if something's bothering me, it's like, Lord, please help me to stop thinking about that. That's a
right.
prayer.
Sure. Absolutely. Take that care away, that problem.
Right.
Yeah. That anxiety. Yes.
Get him involved in your everyday,
right,
mundane things that you do every
sure.
day.
Just sure.
talk to him all day long. Get real with him.
Right. Absolutely. Amen. Pastor,
he's big enough to take that.
Absolutely,
some people go,
he is.
Oh, don't, you should never question God. Well, I think he's big enough to take it when we have questions.
He likes the conversations.
As humans, we have questions.
Right, we do. Yes, good insights. Pastor Jim, talk to us.
Well, kind of, excuse me, tagging along with that, yeah. Read the Psalms.
Right.
David questioned God.
Yes, he did.
Moses
right.
in Exodus
sure.
questioned God.
Right.
And the other thing, kind of paralleling that and going hand in hand with that, is don't be afraid to approach God.
Right.
He's made a way through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we have access to the Father yes. by the Spirit through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And you had mentioned it before. Sometimes we think we have to clean ourselves up
right.
before we can get saved or right. whatever. Sometimes we think we have to clean ourselves up before we can come before Him, especially if we've sinned. Mm-hmm. There ain't nothing you can do. It's only by the blood of Jesus.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, don't worry about what God thinks of you, because, first of all, He loves you.
Right.
Secondly, He knows you better than you know yourself. And Cindy,
Amen.
You had mentioned it before, you know, be real with God.
Be real.
Yeah. He already knows how ugly you are.
Right.
You might be might be on the inside.
Sure.
And He still loves you.
Right. Amen.
It's kind of silly to try and hide things from God because He already knows.
Yes.
You know, as David wrote, such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
Right.
And yet in spite of that, even though He knows us better than we know ourselves, He still loves us.
Absolutely.
He still wants to be in relationship with
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
And that would be my encouragement to anyone who's listening now. He wants to be in relationship
yes,
with you. He
yes.
wants you to be in relationship with Him, because He's got seeds for you to be planting.
Absolutely. That's what we need to be doing, is planting those seeds. So, you know, God's got a plan for each of us. He knows where we're headed and what He has for us to do. Cindy, just a couple sentences, because we got to get out of here. So final thought, and then we'll give PJ a final thought. Or did you just do your final thought?
That was my final thought.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Cindy, last final thought here. We got to go. We got to go.
Again, be real with God.
Yeah,
He wants to be in relationship with us, and relationship
right.
means being real.
It That's means right.
Don't, no pretense, no performance, no putting on airs or trying to be something that you're not. You just be real. Tell Him
Amen.
How you feel, tell Him why you think you feel that way. And then say, hey, if it's not this way, show me.
Yeah.
You know, show me what you got, basically.
Yeah. Thank you, Cindy Henderson.
Let Him show up and prove Himself.
Amen. Thank you, Cindy Henderson from Idaho, a Beaconite, clear out there. Pastor Jim, my associate pastor. And me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's been a joy to be on the air with you all today. As always, we encourage you to go to our website, bohmglobal.com. You will find some stuff about the ministry there. Also, we encourage you, if you're interested in my book, to send a note to me, pastor@bohmglobal.com, and we'll communicate on that. And we encourage you to listen to our Thursday night show, which is a life coaching show with Dr. Angel Falzoni and me, Mama Mac, my other name. And that's called Go Yard. And it's right here on Tan Talk Network. So we encourage you to listen to these shows. And you can go on Tan Talk Network and go to the podcasts and go to Living the Good Life, which is the name of this show, or Go Yard, the name of our Thursday night show, to catch them, or to both of our websites, which are bohmglobal.com for the ministry, and goyard2014.org for the life coaching show. So God bless you all, and we look forward to having you join us again very soon for one of our shows, or listen and to the podcast, and that'll be great. God bless you. Have a great week. It's not far to Jesus. He's right here waiting on us to run to Him. God bless you. Have a good week. See you next week. It's
106.1.
WDZF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Special report, Mueller probe conclusions. The Justice Department has released a summary of the special counsel probe, saying it found no evidence the Trump campaign conspired with Russia to influence a 2016 election, but it also says the investigation did not exonerate the president of obstruction of justice. Correspondent Manu Raju.
Special counsel Mueller worked for 22 months to determine the extent of which President Trump obstructed justice. Attorney General Barr took 2 days to tell the American people that while the president is not exonerated, there will be no action by DOJ.
President Trump's personal attorney Rudy Giuliani reacted to the report.
The president did not do anything wrong. He didn't engage in collusion. I think now that is proven beyond any doubt. And he did not engage in any kind of obstruction of justice known to man, unless you can obstruct justice somewhere in your head.
The chairman of the House